I'm 10 years old and have the glittering good luck to live across the alley from a man who works for a toy company. He needs a boy to pose for a photo in the company's catalog. In exchange, the boy can pick any one item from its pages. Am I interested in being such a boy? Am I ever? The photo shoot takes minutes, but I spend an eternity with the thick catalog. It's like a mile-long candy counter. I dawdle for days, then finally decide on the shortwave radio. In truth, it's a kit, a collection of parts that could conceivably become a shortwave radio. The neighbor brings it over after work, but assembling it is beyond me. If my parents are less than thrilled with inheriting this task, they don't show it. Maybe they're attracted by the challenge. They've recently taught themselves to lay bricks and graft trees. They clear off a table and dig in. They'll need a lot of tools, including a soldering iron and flux to join wire to metal. Fortunately, it's 1962, an era where calling a plumber or electrician is a last resort. My Aunt Dorothy has a drill press, bandsaw, and anvil. Of course my parents own a soldering iron. They spend days decoding the instructions. They wind copper wire around coils, screw part X to Y, then solder CC to DD, a puff of smoke rising from the soldering iron's worksite. At last, the radio is finished. I'm buzzing with high-voltage excitement. It has 5 different bands. For an antenna, my father runs a length of copper wire from the peak of the roof into my bedroom window and affixes it to the back of the set. My mother and 2 sisters gather around. I turn it on. Suddenly, voices that had been whizzing imperceptibly around us are audible. We hear transmissions from a dispatcher to police cars, then offshore fishermen talking to their wives on land.
Yeah. Long pause. Pretty good.
Longer pause.
Maybe Wednesday.
For some reason, we can only hear the fishermen's side of the conversation. They don't talk much. We try a different band and are plunged into a strange land of electronic beeps and burbles. We find a station that sounds like a ticking clock. Every 5 minutes it announces the time. Strange. We creep cautiously ahead, hear Morse code, pass through another forest of static, then make out a male voice speaking English.
That concludes the news from Radio Havana, Cuba.
We've got Cuba. The shortwave really can pick up stations from other countries. Cuba is only 90 miles from the U.S. Can we hear something farther away? We try another band. On the hour, we hear the slow tolling of a bell. Then a female voice announces, "You're listening to the Foreign Service of the BBC. The British Broadcasting Corporation. My parents say that the bell is the famous Big Ben in London. We're hearing England." I'm wowed. My world until now has been Santa Monica, California. School, the beach, Los Angeles beyond. But the shortwave allows spirit travel. Later that night, I'm listening to Australia. Then to a Canadian Broadcasting Corporation announcer who's reading letters sent by listeners to be shared over the air to family living beyond mail delivery in the country's far north. In the morning, I see written down on the legal pad by the radio the frequencies my father frequented after I went to sleep. 10 o'clock, 11450, Radio Berlin International. 10:20, 11825, New Zealand. 10:45, 15165, The Voice of the Andes, Quito, Ecuador. I put a world map up on my wood-paneled wall and stick flag pins in the capitals of countries I've heard. More important, I get a copy of the World Radio Handbook. This holds something crucial about stations: their addresses. Shortwave listeners send reception reports to stations, giving the date, time, frequency, the program heard, and how strong the signal was. This is useful to stations. In return, they send postcard-sized confirmations to listeners, called QSL cards. Shortwave buffs cherish their collections, especially cards from hard-to-hear stations. I already collect coins and stamps, but QSL cards come with an added lure, getting stuff in the mail. I begin mailing out reception reports. Long weeks pass, then the first QSL arrives. It's in an envelope that also has a station decal. Cool.